Well, good morning. Great to have you here this morning. Hopefully you can hang out for lunch afterwards. If you're a newcomer, see me at the door and get you a free ticket to stay for lunch. If you're a Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan, just remember the verse, the first shall be last, so you take your spot at the back of the line. So we're in week five of the Gospel Primer. Hard to believe, we're halfway through. And let me begin by asking you four questions. The first one is your need to be in control causing you stress? We all have stress in our lives, things that cause us to stay awake at night. We worry about things. We could be about the future. We could be stressed about our kids, or our grandkids, or our parents, or our finances, or our health, or our present circumstances. You name it. The list is endless. Now, we may cognitively know that God is in control, but somehow subtly we think he needs our help. Because we know that God has saved our souls, but we need this month's rent to be saved. You know? Or we need a loved one's help to be saved. You know, and sometimes God just appears so silent. In particular, for some of us, we hate for life to be in flex. We hate for the uncertainty to be around life. And so we try and seize control in the midst of that uncertainty. And so we like to think that we have control of our circumstances or of our relationships or of our health. And to a certain extent, that helps us, but we still feel that sense of stress. And we find ourselves just doing, and we can overwork, in a sense, to try and solve the stress that we're feeling. And then others don't like to be around us, because nobody likes to be around a control freak. So let me ask you, how are you feeling about the future? Do you believe that God's got it? Do you believe that God's got your future? Or do you fear the future? And is that fear causing you to be stressed? Is your greatest fear uncertainty? And do you want to control in the face of that? Second question. Do you crave approval? Do you crave the approval of someone? Is there someone in your life that you are fearful of disappointing? Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's your dad. You're waiting for that speech, well done, son, or good job, daughter. Or maybe you make certain life choices around that person's approval, like maybe the holidays, or what you do for holidays, or a career, or school choices, based on what that person will feel about you. Do you need their approval? Need in the sense that this relationship has become codependent? You know what I'm saying? Where on the outside you're saying yes, but on the inside you're saying no. But you need their approval so you continue to say yes, even though you don't feel it in your heart. Or maybe it's not a certain person. Maybe it's just people in general. You're worried about what people think. Those parents at your kid's school, or your coworkers, or the kids at school. Certain people, when you're around, you just worry what they think. And on the outside, you're dressed up, you're fine, but on the inside, you're fearful. You're fearful that if they knew certain things about you, or thought certain thoughts about you, it causes you stress. And you're insecure in your style of relating to them. Is your greatest fear the fear of rejection? Rejection by someone that you love. And you tailor your language, your attitudes, your behaviors in light of that fear. Do you crave approval? Third question. What do you complain about? This fall season, what are you complaining about? Slow Wi-Fi? The weather? Long lineups at Starbucks? What people are posting on social media, you know, their complaints, you complain what they're complaining about. What are you complaining about? We're all born into this world needy. We need things. We need relationships. We need food. We need shelter. We need security. We need love, etc. But at our soul level, what really satisfies? Because other people are going to let you down. Circumstances won't work out. We will be disappointed. How many have been to Disneyland? The so-called happiest place on earth. You ever been to Disneyland and you've been in a complaining mood? You ever been to the happiest place and found yourself unhappy, disappointed, grumpy? We have good things in this world. Food, shelter, security, technology, relationships, etc. But those good things can't become ultimate things. And when we find that we place certain expectations on those good things to be ultimate things, they're going to disappoint us. Has life not turned out the way you hoped or expected? We just sang earlier about God is good. Do you believe that? Like, do you really believe that at your soul level? Or is it like, God is good, but? Fill in the but. What's the fear that's driving your complaining? Fourth question. Are you trying to prove yourself? Maybe like me, you grew up in a home with unpleasable parents, and you sort of adopted a style of relating that's based around proving yourself. Trying to show yourself. Say, hey, I'm worthy. I merit value. Look at me. And sometimes we can go through life trying to prove ourselves to ourselves or to others and say, hey, look at my achievements. Look at my resume. Look at my house. Look at my car. Look at my whatever. You're trying to prove yourself? Or maybe prove yourself to God? You know, through maybe spiritual disciplines, you say, God, look how I'm doing. Gospel primer, perfect. Look at my checklist here. Didn't miss a day, God. And we try and impress God. Or if I've heard it once, I've heard it a dozen times. If I've said it once, I've said it a dozen times. Sometimes this idea that God owes us. People say things like, I've been faithful to God, and yet blank. I've been faithful to God, but He hasn't given me a spouse. I've been faithful to God, but He hasn't given me a job. I've been faithful to God, but He didn't protect my loved one. I've been faithful to God, but I've got this health problem, etc., etc. And we think we did our end of the bargain with God, but He hasn't come through for us. Are you trying to prove yourself? Maybe it's something from your past. You messed up real bad, and you're trying to do self-atonement in light of that? Why can't you just forgive yourself? Who told you that you're not enough? And you listen to that voice, and you're trying to prove yourself in light of that. Four questions. All relate to struggles that we have. But there's something beyond those four questions, right? Those questions reveal the condition of our heart. The stress we're under, and so we crave control. The approval we seek from others. The complaining that we do. The need to prove ourselves. Those are all secondary issues to what's happening in our heart. That's the fruit of some bad root in our heart. And merely telling ourselves, oh, I got to change. Yeah, I got to stop complaining. Or, oh, I shouldn't worry about what other people think. That's not enough. We've got to get to the root issue. These are problems of the heart. And so we've got to get to the heart of the matter. Sinful acts always have their origin in some form of unbelief. Behind every sin, there is a lie. Where do we get that from? Well, why don't we put Romans 1:25 on the screen there? Why don't we read it together? They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. See, we got to get beyond the fruit of our sinful attitudes or sinful actions and get to that root. What is the lie that we're believing that's propelling this sinful attitude or action? We've got to get to the heart. Find out what is it that our heart treasures. And our heart trusts. And why have we perhaps exchanged the truth for a lie within our hearts? And we need to get to the core. The lie that we believe about God and replace that with the truth. So you ready for God to do life transformation in you this morning? Are you ready, friends, to be a new person? Because God is always doing something new in your lives and mine. So let's take our Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, or you can turn on your mobile device, follow along there in YouVersion, the outline. Romans chapter 10. Some words from the Apostle Paul. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. Paul writes, Romans 10, verse 9, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Now, some of you long-term Christians might say, "Rick, that's a great scripture for unbelievers." Yes, it is. It's a great scripture for you. Because if you remember my first sermon in this series on the gospel, I said we're all unbelievers. We all have areas of our life where we don't believe God yet fully. We don't trust God fully yet. And the challenge is there for us to declare that Jesus is Lord with our mouths and believe where in our head? No, believe in our heart. Twice he uses the word heart. 850 times in the Bible that word heart is used. And it's referring more to than just this organ in our body that's pumping blood throughout our body. But that the heart is the center. It's the center of our will. It's the center of our emotions. The heart thinks. The heart feels. The heart makes decisions. The heart lusts. The heart gets deceived, etc., etc. And so we've got to get to the core of our heart. The author of the Gospel Primer, he writes this in tomorrow's reading. He says, "Often there's a large gap between what we say we believe in our head and what we truly believe in our heart. I call this our head-heart distortion." Sometimes we have that head-heart distortion, right? I can say in my head, Jesus is Lord, but by my attitudes and my actions reveal something else. What's the problem? I need to replace that unbelief I've got in my heart with belief. When I'm stressed because I'm fearing about the future, when I'm stressed and I'm seizing control, or when I'm living in the fear of the opinions of others, or when I feel I need to prove myself, I'm believing some sort of a lie. And I need to replace that lie with the truth. And so we've got four truths. They're on a little bookmark that we made for you. It's in your program. You can take that home, and let's walk through those four truths. The first one being that God is great, so I don't need to be in control. God is great. Everybody say those three words. God is great. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Like in your heart, like our passage says, to believe in our hearts? I know we can say God is great. We can sing it. We're going to sing it in a few minutes' time. I know we can quote verses about it. Luke 1:37, nothing is impossible with God. We can say all kinds of verses. But do we believe that in our heart? Because about a month ago, I asked my discipleship group, I said, "Pray for me. I'm feeling this anxiety in my mind. I'm staying up at night. My mind is churning as I'm worrying about things." And today, a month later, I'm in a better place. I think thanks to those prayers and thanks to me letting go of the need to control. And I was reminded of this week. I was in a better place when the Bank of Canada, they had their interest rate announcement and they hiked rates by a quarter point. And when I heard it Wednesday night, I said three words from our passage: Jesus is Lord. But, you know, maybe a month ago I would have been more stressed and I would have been like, "Oh man, like how much more is this costing me every month?" Because like some of you, we're on a variable rate mortgage, and so it kind of varies when the rate goes up, you know. And I would have been stressed and asked myself, okay, all these things about finances and implications. And I just said three words: Jesus is Lord, and surrender to his sovereign control. What about you? Are you stressed today about something? Today is your day of salvation. Today you can be set free from that fear of uncertainty. Today you can repent and believe that God is in control. God is in control of your future. You can't control your health. You can't control your circumstance. You can't control your relationships. But you can know the one who is in control, and you can trust him. You can believe Jesus when he says these words in Mark 5:36, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Just believe. And friends, when Jesus walked on this earth, He exercised control, right? Again and again. He had control over nature. When the storm was up, he said two words, "Be still," and it calmed that storm. He has power over nature. He's got power over circumstances. The early church, some of them were in jail, and Jesus would send an angel, or he would open those jail gates supernaturally. Jesus has control over circumstances. Jesus demonstrated control over the demonic as he set people free from demonic powers. Jesus has even control over death as he not only died on the cross, but he rose from the dead that first Easter. And as it says in our scripture this morning, and when we believe that God raised him from the dead, that we can exercise that kind of belief, knowing the truth, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is in control. We can trust him. So friends, believe it. Believe it that God is far greater. God is far greater than any circumstances you face. God is far greater than any relationship challenges you have. God is far greater than any health troubles you may have. God is far greater than the stress that you've got that's keeping you up at night. Replace the lie in your mind with the truth of who God is. God is great. And since he is great, we can trust that he is in control. We don't have to stress by trying to seize control. Secondly, God is glorious, so I don't have to fear others. We can live in the fear of other people. We can fear the rejection of another person. We can be worried about someone's disapproval. We can fear needing that other person's acceptance. What does the Bible say? Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. Friends, if you're living in fear of others, it says there, it's like a snare. That was an animal trap that was used to trap animals that they would capture for food. And it's like we've got this animal trap on us when we're worried about the opinions of other people. Instead, it says, when we trust in the Lord, the writer writes, it's like we're kept safe. God is glorious, so I don't have to fear others. God is glorious. Everybody say those three words with me. God is glorious. And the word glory is sometimes used in the Bible to refer to weightiness or to heaviness. The sense that God is more weighty, more heavy, more glorious than anything or anyone else. So I want you to imagine with me, those of you who are people pleasers, imagine the person up on the stage here whose approval you are seeking. The person that you don't want to disappoint. Imagine they're standing right here beside me. Then imagine on this side is Jesus. Now between the two people, that person whose approval you need and Jesus, who is bigger? Who is more weighty? Who is more glorious? Whose approval are you living for? Jesus or this other person? God is glorious, so we don't have to live in the fear of other people. And friends, God, for some of us, God brought you here this morning to set you free from that. Because I understand approval addiction. I grew up in a home where everything had to be perfect. The lawn, there were no weeds in the lawn. My dad made sure of that, and when I got old enough, I was on weed duty. Why? Because we didn't want any of the neighbors thinking ill of us if we happen to have a dandelion or two in the lawn, you know? So we had to have everything had to look perfect. The car had to be washed every Saturday to look clean for the neighbors, you know? Everything was that way. I remember my parents had a cottage up in Sauble Beach. I grew up in Kitchener, Ontario. They had a cottage in Sauble Beach for a while. And we used to go up there on weekends. And as we were always packing every Friday night, and I remember it was so much stuff to pack. We'd pack our clothes, and then my dad would pack all these tools because we did a bunch of work there, and then all the food that we would bring up. And I remember saying to my mom one day, I said, you know, we're packing all this stuff. What's the most important thing to pack? She didn't miss a beat. She said, our manners. We got to take our manners. Again, it's like, okay, we're worried about what people think. So I grow up in that home.
I become a young adult. I become a pastor. I've got this ingrained within me, right? The fear of others. And it affected how I related to people. I was always kind of scared that, you know, somebody would ask me a question of something I wouldn't know, or I would say something stupid or whatever. And I'd be worried about that. And I still remember well the day God set me free. It was a Sunday. I had been gone to Pittsburgh. I was a youth pastor in a church in Springside Baptist Church. I was gone to Pittsburgh for a conference. I flew back that Sunday, caught an early morning flight from Pittsburgh to Minot, and then I drove from Minot up to Springside. And I told the senior pastor that I wouldn't be back for the Sunday evening service because I had sort of figured out the timing that I wouldn't get back till 8 or 9 p.m. And I don't know if the flight was quick or I just drove real fast. And suddenly I got back, and it was you know, shortly after 6. And I got back, and I was tired. And I thought, oh, there's a 7 o'clock service tonight. I thought, I'm too tired to go to this service. And you might think, well, Rick, well, just don't go, kind of thing. But again, I was a people pleaser. I was worried about what people were thinking. And I was renting a house right across the street from the church, you know. And so I'm there. Everybody's going to know, right? Rick is home, but Rick's not in the service, you know. I thought, what do I do? So I hid my car, and I, you know, pulled my luggage out, and got into the house. I thought, I'm not going to turn the lights on, you know. Then that way, when people start showing up for church, you know, they won't know that I'm there. I know it sounds ridiculous, but those of you who are people pleasers understand that we sometimes alter our behaviors around what other people think. And so I did that, you know. And so I'm in the bedroom, kind of laying there on the bed, kind of thing. And then I'm thinking, huh? It was like whatever, just before 7. I thought, I'm hungry, man. I want to grab something to eat, you know. But I don't want to, you know, walk and people will see me through the window, kind of thing, or turn the lights on. I thought, okay, I'm just going to crawl out of bed, you know, I'm just going to crawl down the hallway, and I'm just going to, because I didn't want to walk because the front living room window was there, and I'm just going to crawl over to the fridge, open the fridge, grab something out, and then crawl back. That was my plan, eh? So I'm crawling down the hallway, I'm crawling on the kitchen floor, and that's when I heard it. I don't know if it was an audible voice, but it was such a strong impression that it literally changed my life as I heard those words, "What are you doing on the floor?" And I was like, "God, don't strike me dead." And I felt busted. There it was, the foolishness, the stupidity. And there on my knees, I just repented of my sin. I confessed to God my unbelief. And I got up and I turned on the lights. I opened the fridge and I made myself some supper. And I sat at the kitchen table and I didn't worry about what the people at the church across the street were thinking if they saw my lights on. When we were at my wife's 20-year high school reunion. So we would have been married about 10 years, or a little over 10 years at that point. I overheard her say to somebody, she said, "Yeah, Rick, one thing about Rick is he never cares what people think about him." And I thought, wow, I had kind of forgotten what it used to be like to be an approval addict, because God set me free. And for some of you, God brought you here this morning because it's your day. It's your crawling on the kitchen floor day that God wants to set you free. Perhaps Proverbs 29:25 can be your life verse, that the fear of man is a snare. And today you're going to be released from that trap. And you're going to walk out of here free and not living in the fear of others, because God is glorious. God is more weighty than any person whose acceptance you seek. The third truth: God is good, so I don't have to look elsewhere for my satisfaction. Our hearts yearn
for goodness. We were created for God, by God, to be happy beings. Now, where do we find the source of our satisfaction? We can turn to achievements. We can turn to entertainment. We can turn to alcohol. We can turn to relationships. We can turn to all kinds of things. But ultimately, our satisfaction needs to be found in God alone. There can be good things in life, but we can't turn those good things into ultimate things, because then they take the place, or attempt to take the place, that only God can take. We were born to need God. And when we turn to something else or someone else, that person's going to disappoint us. That thing is going to disappoint us, because it's not the ultimate. There's a God-shaped void in our hearts that a job can't fill, a relationship can't fill, circumstances may not work out for us. We need to turn to God. Our longings, the heart of our longings, your heart and my heart, is for God. Our ultimate longing is for God. And even our distorted longings are a sign that we're seeking God. Appreciated Hugh sharing earlier, and I'm kind of looking forward to hearing Brian on Saturday morning. And Hugh had invited all the staff to come and hear Brian and share what he had to say. And so a few of us met Brian already. And I remember Brian was in my office and was showing some slides about Cambodia. And I still can remember the picture of the hotel. It just looked like any other hotel. But it was a brothel for human trafficking. And it breaks God's heart to see that. But the person going to that brothel is seeking after God. The Grace Pointer who last night looking at porn or escaping in a raunchy romance novel is looking for God. All of our longings, even our distorted ones, we're searching for God. But whatever sin offers, what Jesus offers is better. Do you believe that, friends? That what Jesus offers is better than anything that sin can offer? Or do you need to replace some lie that you've been duped into thinking and believing with the truth about who God is, that He is good? Jesus said, I'm the living water. He ultimately and eternally satisfies. Oh, sin will satisfy. It'll satisfy for a season. It'll satisfy temporarily. But Jesus is better than anything. Do you believe that? Do you believe that in your heart of hearts? Or are you the person who says, yeah, God is good, but... And then you launch into a complaint. Do you believe that Jesus is better than what you're complaining about? If you find yourself saying, if only I had blank, then I'd be happy. Chances are you don't believe this morning that God is good, because you think that happiness is still around the corner. God, the truth of the Bible is that God is good and God is for you. And today you can turn away from what's enticing you. You can turn away from what's delighting you. And it may be a bad thing, it may be a good thing, but it's not a God thing. It's not the ultimate thing, because only God can bring about that satisfaction in your soul that only He can fill. Today turn to God, because He's what you're looking for at your core level. And fourthly, God is gracious, so I don't have to prove myself. We can spend a lifetime trying to prove ourselves, trying to validate ourselves, trying to show that we are worthy to ourselves, to others, or to God. And we can live in that fear of failure. Because the danger is when we get into that rabbit trail is we're always one achievement away from failing. And then we turn life into this duty. And even Christian service can turn into joyless duty. And we get angry when others don't notice us or we're not proved right. And we can just live with that pressure to perform. Sometimes we act like we're a better Savior than Jesus.
Grace says God accepts you just as you are, without regard to merit, without regard to having to prove yourself. Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrates his love for us. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. It's apart from your actions. And when we believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, we can stop trying to prove ourselves. Stop trying to earn God's love or earn another's love and be free. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. So why are some of us acting like it's not finished? Like we've got to finish the work that Jesus started. He said, it is finished. Let it be done, friends. God is gracious. Let his grace just wash over you. Wash over your soul. Wash over your life. Let the resurrected Jesus free you from that need to prove yourself. I know the voice inside says otherwise. The voice inside says, oh, you know, you're not worthy. You've got to earn it. But I say, silence that voice. I say, speak back to that voice. I say, preach the gospel back to that inside voice. The truth of who God is. That God is gracious. He is full of grace for you. You don't have to prove yourself. Live in that grace of God. And my story, my journey, is one of just being continually overwhelmed or blindsided, kind of like waves from the ocean where the grace of God just overwhelms me. Because I can fall into that trap of trying to prove myself. What about you? Friends, do you need to gospel yourself? Do you need to sell yourself the truth of the gospel? In what area? Stop listening to that voice that says, you need to be in control. Stop listening to that voice that says, be afraid of the future. He is already in control. Stop listening to the voice that says, oh, you need to worry about what that person thinks. The fear of man is a snare, friends. Trust in him. God is glorious. Stop looking to other things for the source of your satisfaction. Stop complaining that your life isn't enough. God is good. And get off that treadmill, those of us who are trying to prove ourselves. Get off that treadmill because it's so tiring. Live in the grace of God. Friends, what area is God looking to set you free from this morning? God is all you need. God is all you and I need. Let's go to prayer. I'll just take a few moments. Holy Spirit, I pray right now, you just speak. Speak into each heart, each life. You know our need. Just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm wondering some of us who are afraid of the uncertainty, afraid of the future, and we've been trying to seize control. I'm wondering if today some of us just need to let go. And if you're that person, why don't you just kind of raise your hand? You're saying to God, today is my day, God, I'm letting go. Yeah? Yeah, and I'm going to look at you and agree with you in prayer. Today, you're letting go because you've been stressed by this need for control. You're letting go this morning. Yeah, yeah, God's speaking to you. What about some of us this morning who maybe you haven't crawled on the kitchen floor, but you've done some other stuff behavioral-wise because you're worried about what people think? The people pleasers, God, who you're saying today, I want a new day in how I relate to others. You go ahead, put your hand up, and I'm going to agree with you that God's going to set you free today from that. Yes, God's going to set you free from the people pleasing. Yeah, yeah, God's going to set you free. One of the complainers this morning. Some of us who aren't convinced of God's goodness, today we need to repent of that. I wonder if you want to raise your hand today in commitment to God to say, God, I'm seeking you as the source of my satisfaction. Go ahead, raise your hand.
that God is the ultimate and eternal satisfier. Yes. Yes. And finally, what about some of us who need to prove ourselves? You're on that treadmill and today you want to get off. Go ahead, raise your hand to the Lord. He'll see that hand. And today he wants to set you free from that need to prove yourself. Yes. Yeah. Oh God, you know our hearts. You know the things that we believe in our core. Sometimes we say one thing or we think one thing, but then we act a different way, we think a different way. And Jesus, I believe that today you're setting us free. Free to live in the truth of who you are. Thank you for this, Lord Jesus. You are all powerful. You are the one who brought us here. You are the one who changes lives. Thank you, Jesus, that the gospel is the power of God for salvation in each of our hearts, in each of our lives. Amen.